Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us today on this Phases podcast. Whether you're a mom, dad, grandma, whoever you are, we're so glad you're here.
Anyone with a kid in this phase.
Anyone with a kid in the 0 to 2-year-old phase, we're so glad you're here. We're going to start by introducing ourselves. My name is Chrislee Heller, and I'm the elementary director at the UB campus. And with me, I have the lovely
Jasmine Lowe.
Jasmine.
I am the preschool coordinator at our OJ campus.
Nice. And Jasmine, can you start by telling everybody who are your kids? What phase are they in? Just a little bit about your family.
We are living in the 0 to 2 phase right now. So my oldest is Eva. She's 2 years old. And then Briella, she just turned 14 months. So we are just loving this
Jasmine,
phase.
What is the age gap between those
they
two?
They are 18 months apart. So yeah, tons of fun.
You're living the dream.
We are, yes.
That's so fun. Two girls. I bet that's a party all the time in your house.
Oh my goodness, you know it. They have newly discovered princess dresses, so it is a princess party all the time.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
Well, I have a 14-month-old now. His name is Jones. So he turned one on November 13th, and we are also in the 0 to 2 phase.
Yes.
And it's so funny. It's like the moment they turn one, I keep thinking, this is what it's like to have a toddler. Like, I know I'm not really in the toddler phase
yet. Oh, no. But they're giving you a taste of it.
But it's what it feels like.
Yes.
So, and again, only have one, so I'm not in it as much as Jasmine, but still.
You're still in it.
I'm still in it and actually learn a lot from her. So I'm really excited to be doing this with you, Jasmine.
Me too.
Will you start us off by just explaining to our listeners, like, what is a phase? Why are we talking about this? Why is it important?
Yeah, for sure. Phase is just a time frame in their life when you can leverage distinctive opportunities to influence their future. So basically, there's just different things they're going to be going through in each phase. And so we just like to talk about them so you have a heads up. And that way you'll know, like, this is what they're going through right now. And then how you can just use some tips and tricks that we're going to share to best influence your kid's life and set them up for a great future.
Awesome.
So yeah, when your kid is born, basically you have 936 weeks until they graduate and move out. So
crazy.
That can sort of sound like a big number, but it's really not. The weeks go by so fast. Mm-hmm. So you really don't have much time to influence them.
I know. I think for me, seeing 52 weeks in a year, I'm like, okay, I have 52 weeks in this, and I guess the 0 to 1 phase,
right,
and then the 1 to 2 phase. That number to me feels really small.
Yes. I mean, it's the cliche of like the days feel long, but oh my goodness, the weeks, they go by so fast.
Yeah. I think one of the things that most impacted me when looking at this, at the idea of phases, is the quote that a phase isn't just something to get through, but to intentionally be in.
Yes.
Like, this is the phase to influence them. And every phase is a moment to influence your child. But
for sure.
You don't want to miss it,
yeah,
especially just because they're 0 to 2. Like, there's still
right.
time to influence them.
Yes.
And they're still they're extremely moldable in this time.
Right, right.
Right.
So yeah, at every phase, I mean, every kid has a crisis they're facing, a question they're asking, and then a role for you to play. So for the 0 to 1 phase, the little like tag, I guess, is that it's the phase where nobody sleeps, everyone smells, and one mesmerizing baby convinces you, I need you now. Like, that is so true.
Mm-hmm. I know. What did that look like for you in the newborn phase? Do you remember bringing them home?
Sort of a blur. Seriously, like the first 6 weeks with each of them were just a blur. I don't deal well with lack of sleep. And I mean, that is how you're living that phase. So
I know.
It's so true. But then also looking back at, like, I'm so glad I took pictures and videos to help remind my
sleep
deprived brain. But they were so sweet, and just the how they are so tiny and just snuggle up right on your chest. Like, it's the best.
I know. I think when I brought home Jones for the first time and like entered into the newborn phase, I remember thinking there is like a secret mom club that's always existed. And I've always seen them, but I didn't really know what it was.
Yeah.
And now I'm realizing what superheroes they are to go through the newborn phase. I think it was a lot harder for me than I expected.
Oh yeah. Well, and everyone talks about how you don't sleep, and it's like, oh yeah, well, I pulled all nighters in college. Like, I'll be fine with No, it's totally different. I mean, your body is healing from this massive thing it just underwent.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this little baby, especially the first time, where you have no idea. You know, you can take all the classes you want, but it's totally different once they're actually there, and then it's all on you. You're entrusted with this precious little life.
And I think what we're saying, like, am I safe, and how much of that depends on the physical needs. Like, they are physically dependent on you.
Yes.
And I think for me, what was hard was just the control of that, like realizing Well, I guess just how much they needed me. So that was so much of my day was spent on that, and how it felt like little, I don't know, control I had over the rest of my day because they were kind of determining that for me.
Right.
And so that was hard and that was an adjustment. But I had a mom tell me one time that, you know, by the time you feel like you figure it out, it changes.
There's a new phase.
Yeah, like even within that small little first newborn, 0 to even 6 months.
Zero to 3 months. Yeah, for sure.
The amount of changes that happen inside of your baby are insane.
They are.
During that time. So this is an interesting, what's it called?
Little fact.
Yeah. The average baby doubles his or her birth weight by the time he is 4 months and triples that by the time he is one. Okay, so fun fact, just to show how much is changing in them. So it's like by the time they figure something out, there's a change physically. So like sleep and feeding schedules and all of that. Always keeping you on your toes.
They are, for sure.
Yeah.
And then, moving on to the 1 to 2 year old phase. That's the phase when nobody's on time, everything's a mess, and one eager toddler will insist, I can do it. So their question for that age group is, am I able? And I don't know how many times a day I hear my 2-year-old say, me do it, over and over. So they are definitely becoming independent and wanting to figure out what their little bodies are capable of.
Right. And I mean, I don't have to have a 2-year-old to feel like I can read some of this and be like, oh yeah, it says they're not rational or logical. And they are taking in so much and trying to learn it and figure it out for themselves. It says here they can't connect a process from an outcome. So it's like, it's the same cookie. It's just cut in half.
Oh my goodness.
Is this hard for you, Jasmine? Like, do you feel this in your house right now?
Well, especially, I mean, just with like the cookie example, I mean, I have two. So if you think, well, we have one cookie, let's split it between the two. Neither one of them are happy because they wanted the one cookie, you know? So I mean, it's fun trying to explain things to them. So, I mean, it's neat because, with the 2-year-old, like, their brain is forming so many new connections, like at an alarming rate. Like it's higher than at any other point it will be in their life. So, but those connections don't all make sense. So you're still trying to teach them just the logic order of things and how things work.
Their brains, like they're thinking like an artist is how you describe it. Again, not in that logical or rational way, but in a creative, they're having to use their senses for everything. For the baby, it says that what they are doing, how they're responding is what they're thinking. Like you get the full picture of it just in the way that they're they're acting. So I think just for us, let's talk about what does it look like to be in this phase and to help them. How do we help engage their senses knowing that they need and use their senses like in this phase? Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, I think really they just learn by doing. So they've got to get in it and they need to like see and smell and touch and taste and learn how to move. That's really how they're best going to learn right now. And they also learn in the present. So basically with toddlers, what is true right now is like the only thing that's true.
Oh man.
So not having to be told, oh, that's going to happen tomorrow or even in an hour. I mean, there's no concept of that. So
like no reasoning. Like if you can just get to this point.
Oh my goodness.
Let me tell you, when we get to the like really into the toddler phase, this is going to be hard for my husband. Yeah. Not to call him out on the podcast, but he's going to be like, why can't I reason with you?
No, that is Eva in a nutshell right now, my 2-year-old. So she will want to go see a grandparent. And I'm saying, we have something set up. We're going to go to the zoo with them tomorrow. And all she kept telling me is no today. She does not want to wait till tomorrow. No today.
Yeah. I mean, another thing, toddlers learn with their words. Yes. So they may be like super chatty and really reserved, but they're understanding way more than what they say and they're learning it fast.
Yes.
So I think an interesting fact here, strangers will only understand about 50% of what a 2-year-old says.
I think that's so true. And that's a lucky percent sometimes.
Yeah. You probably are like, this is what she actually meant.
Yes. I mean, it's almost like a little shorthand sometimes of how she pieces words together to where I feel like I'm like a translator following behind her, explaining what she's saying to, you know, even her dad sometimes.
Yes. Okay. So like with the heavy sensory, you know, this being a part of the 0 to 2 phase, what are some ways you've had to change your home because of your child's increased movement and curiosity? Let's talk about this.
All the ways. All the childproofing, all of it. So, I mean, especially having two. I mean, it was nice when the second one came along that we had a lot of childproofing already sort of done. But then, yeah, it's just a constant. You want to make sure that things that they shouldn't get in are out of the way. But then you also want to set up different areas where they can play and explore and do certain things. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun having those areas in our house and just letting them have some free play and explore that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've noticed this just honestly since Jones started walking.
Yeah.
He started walking like right before his first birthday, and everything changed for me when he started walking. I was like, wow, I spend most of my days following him around. And also, it's like every day I learn something new that I need to baby-proof
my
house.
Imagine when the second one learns to walk and then watches the oldest one to see, oh, how do you get into that? And
they're
how do you do this?
So much faster watching the older. So
and you're like, I'm outnumbered.
I can't even imagine. Yeah. So I know, you're always on your toes watching things that I didn't realize could even be a threat, maybe.
Oh,
like our kitchen chairs, but now you're climbing on it and it's tilting backwards, and you got there faster than I ever thought you could.
Oh, yeah, they're so fast.
They are so fast and always going. I'm sure every kid is different, like in the way they explore or how fast they go or what entertains them. But
yes,
I think we're maybe part of this phase just of the discovery is I'm realizing there aren't a lot of toys that entertain
for that long.
My one-year-old for that long, but the dishwasher can have him for a long
time.
Like
yes.
playing in that dishwasher.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know,
yes.
The idea of like learning something and figuring it out is more interesting sometimes than sitting.
Or when I'm trying to do laundry and my youngest favorite activity is pulling all the clothes out of the dryer over and over. Mm. So yeah. Everything your growing toddler wants to do requires a new skill. And for every skill they learn, you can definitely count on a few meltdowns. So your culture is changing too. So remember that your role is to embrace physical needs and establish that they're safe to explore and discover what they need to. So one of the best tips that I heard from actually a conference I went to was saying that you need to set up safe spaces for your kids to fail. So that's kind of an interesting concept, because as a parent, you don't want your kid to fail, but it's so great that they learn it now. So especially in this age group, maybe it's giving them certain toys that they can climb on and learn how their bodies work. And not saying that you should set up anything crazy or dangerous where they could really hurt themselves, but it's good for them to learn how to fail, especially, you know, with like a chore or learning how to tie their shoelaces or something. I mean, because those are such critical skills that they'll need to learn. Mm-hmm. And not just learning how to tie their shoelaces, but learning how to fail and then to try again and to keep reattempting it. So this is such a great phase for them to learn how to fail.
I know. I love that. And as you're saying that, I'm really picturing like this idea of developing that culture within your home.
Yeah.
Like your home is a safe place for them to learn that. And you as the parent are the one who's getting to set that up for them, because you are the one who's answering the question for them. Am I safe?
Right.
With a yes. And I think that goes into the idea of relationally, like our babies are 0 to 2s, they need connection. And I mean, I just think of this through, for me, the challenge of being present, like making eye contact, not being on my phone. It's so tempting. And I think especially with one, I'm realizing this, when you have more than one baby, you're a little bit more like, oh, I have to be paying attention. But with one, if he's just sitting there playing, I'm like, well, my presence is just needed to supervise. So if I'm sitting on my phone, like, that's okay. But no, like, I want to connect relationally with my child. You know, they desire that connection. Even this idea of like a best friend, we think of that as somebody who is like an older kid, but that really applies here, and you really are that person for them.
Oh yeah, toddlers for sure want approval. I mean, just like we do. So yeah, they're looking to their people around them, which are us, for that approval.
Yeah, and they're looking at you too, just even the emotions you experience, the way you respond, like what you do. They're learning all of that from you, and it's being modeled by you.
Yeah, and it's terrifying.
Yeah, it's terrifying. I know. And because of this, toddlers are especially sensitive to shame in this phase. They're developing an awareness that other people are like me, so you can combat feelings of shame in your toddler by empathizing with them. There's this really awesome quote by Brené Brown that says, "The antidote to shame is empathy." So you are working to develop their confidence in this phase with the Me Toos and the modeling, and almost modeling for them what their words can't say yet.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's so true, because right now your toddler feels more than they're able to communicate. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for them to put into words their emotions. Mm-hmm. So you are that translator, whether or not you want to be, to help bridge the gap between his emotions and his vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. On top of that, like emotionally, morally, mm-hmm. just to, you know, hop on this for a second, toddlers are morally aware.
Yeah, which is something you don't think of.
Yeah, I don't think we give them credit for that a bunch. They value actions more than words, so they don't always comprehend things like lying. They also don't comprehend time, so it's hard for them to wait.
The no today.
I know. And so I feel like just as a parent, like reminding me to have like moral integrity and to know that our kids, again, they're like paying attention to that and watching you and wanting to be like you, honestly.
Yes. Yeah. They'll see how you respond in a situation, and they'll think that's how I should respond as well. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's humbling to see that sometimes acted out in your 2-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's navigate through some critical issues real quick. Ooh, because again, like I think 0 to 2, 0 to 1, especially, I'm like, we're just making it. We're surviving.
It's survival.
I'm keeping you alive.
Exactly.
You know, maybe 1 to 2, you start to feel like you have more intentional moments. However, regardless, 0 to 2, like there is space for intentionality. And again, not just getting through the phase, but truly like being intentional in the midst of it. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about faith. The first thing, what does it look like to help instill in your 0 to 2-year-old an authentic faith? Is that even possible? What does that look like?
Right.
Jasmine, can you tell us a little bit about that?
I think it starts off by answering that question, am I safe? Mm-hmm. I mean, by you embracing those needs that your baby has, it's essential and gives them an early picture of how God loves and cares for us and embraces our needs. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And then we also talked about how they think like artists. Well, that ties in where you can talk about God's creation and just really capitalize on that natural sense of wonder.
Right.
And talk about how the world is an amazing place full of amazing things made by an amazing God, mm-hmm. you know, so you can do that by on your walk outside, you know, whenever you're together, be sure that you're praying with them. Like that's such an important thing. Just modeling like the praying at the meals or when you're going to bed or even, you know, Eva, anytime she has an owie, she wants to pray for that owie. And it is so sweet, you know, that we'll take the 5 seconds to Jesus help her knee feel better, you know, and then she's better and can move on. You know, it's so sweet to see those little moments.
That's awesome. I think for us, like in the 0 to 1, it's so simple, but again, yeah, praying before bed or at a meal. And I had a moment the other day, we were praying for a meal, and I was realizing I had gotten into this habit of when we were praying, I didn't have my eyes closed. Like I wasn't in the prayer position because I was watching them to make sure that, you know, I was like trying to engage and look at them. And I was like, okay, what does it look like for me to actually like, you know, put my head down and close my eyes and model prayer and even hold off on giving him the food that I don't want him to choke on when my eyes are closed.
Right. Yes.
Like, for him to notice, like, what does my family do in this moment?
Yeah.
And for as young as he is, I'm like, I think those things matter that we're modeling them now. And then just, again, reading the books, reading the Jesus Storybook Bible. That's awesome.
Yes. Singing songs. I mean, Eva loves songs. She wakes up asking to listen to music. So just be mindful of what songs you're playing. I mean, there's so many great songs out there that sing scripture over your kids. And it's great whenever then you start to hear them sing along with it. Mm-hmm. So,
And Jones, even now as a 1-year-old, like he loves music.
Yes.
He dances, he loves it.
Just
he
so
pays
sweet.
Attention to it. And so whether or not he is understanding those words, I love that it's beginning to influence him. And even just repeating those basic truths, like to say God loves you, I'm like, yes, it's a basic truth, but it's not a simple truth. Like that's a big truth.
Yes. The three that we really try to, especially at Grace, make sure that your preschoolers walk away with knowing are these three basic truths: that God made me, God loves me, and Jesus wants to be my friend forever. Mm. And those seem simple whenever you just repeat them, but I mean, they're life changing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're great truths to just speak over your babies.
That's awesome. I love those three things. Okay, let's talk about healthy habits.
Yeah.
Just like nutritionally,
new year,
physically,
healthy habits.
New year, healthy habits, even for your 0 through 2-year-old. What does that look like in your home? Just helping create some healthy habits.
Yeah. I mean, you 100% just have to be the parent and decide what they're going to eat, because my 2-year-old, left to her choices, would want lollipops and cookies and ice pops all day. Like, that's what she asked for over and over. So, I mean, yeah, you are helping establish their basic nutrition. So mm-hmm. you just need to have consistent, like a variety of foods, and just consistently offer those. So even though she would love to have candy because her daddy loves candy, and that's something that they sort of do together, but she also loves fruit. I mean, both my girls will go through so many strawberries and blueberries. It is astounding. My 1-year-old can eat a whole banana by herself and want more. So same just here. Trying to instill those choices in them now. And like we said, going out and going for a walk and spending time outside, like that's so important. Kids need so much more time outside than they get nowadays. And that's so great for, I mean, not only just for them to be healthy, but it also helps with what they're learning and how they're growing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I feel like you said it really well with like, you're the parent, like, you know what's best. And so, like, giving them those healthy things. I know for me, at like 6 months when we started doing food, mm-hmm. I saw somewhere how it's like, you can try a food. I'm probably going to butcher this number, but it was like 14 yeah. times before they like know if they really like it or not.
Right.
I don't know. Like,
yes.
you don't have to just give up because they don't like it. You can
yes.
keep trying. But I know for me too, like kind of going on the other side of this, I've had to really process like my own thoughts towards healthy habits and like what it looks like to be overall healthy and well-rounded, that I
right.
also don't need to, on the other side, freak out if Gigi,
yes.
our grandma, who we love, I found out gave them ice cream, and I'm like, you're not supposed to have ice cream before you're one. And I'm
yes.
like, you know,
yeah.
it's going to be okay. And
right.
we create overall healthy habits, and there's room to...
Yeah. I mean, that's so healthy though, that you have a yeah. balance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's room for balance.
Yes,
so.
Definitely.
Okay, moving on to sexual integrity. I think this one for me, I was like, okay, wow. I haven't really thought. Well,
you think they're 0 to 2.
Yeah, 0 to 2.
Yeah.
My idea is keeping them safe.
Right.
But how can we be intentional in introducing them to this concept that makes sense for a 0 through 2-year-old? What
yes.
does that look like?
Yeah. I mean, they are naturally curious at this age. So I know, like, for both of my girls, they loved it when they found their belly button. Like, you know, and just as they're discovering the different body parts and knowing that. And so I think it's really important to talk about their body parts and actually use the real names. That mm-hmm. way they know, you know, and so that way there's not such a stigma early on about it. But I mean, it's a part of how God made us. So mm-hmm. I think it's healthy to start talking about it in an age appropriate way.
Yeah. And I love that, being able to combine like the authentic faith into that, like
yeah.
such an awesome opportunity for conversations about who God is and how he made you and your specific gender and what that means
right.
and what that comes with. And like you said, being specific, using real names, and not just avoiding it because you're thinking, oh, they're 2, they don't know,
right.
but you are starting those conversations now.
Yes, sure.
And then the last one, the big one, we're all wondering about it, technology. How do we deal with this with a 0 through 2-year-old and not just get through it, but how do we be intentional with it and establish good habits and good boundaries now?
Yeah. Well, I love that it says use the tools, but don't be used by them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's such a great way to think about it. I mean, because technology has given us so many resources, and it's so great because, especially when I was just living that newborn phase, I don't know how many times when I'm nursing Eva in the middle of the night, looking up different sleep schedules,
you know,
and trying mm-hmm. to see like, how do you get this baby to sleep? And so it can be such a blessing to have those resources, but also you just need to think about it and to know that like, you are their parent and you will know what to do the best for mm-hmm. your child, you know?
Yeah. And having other things to offer, like,
yes,
I know you want to play with this, but
exactly.
let's do this instead.
Right.
And modeling for them, even just like that emotional piece, like we talked about, like, I get that that makes you sad, but there's other things to do that's fun. But
right.
putting limits on that screen time, enjoying the advantages. I love here, it kind of gives the idea of using it to connect with other adults, that it's not just something to do in isolation, but something right. that gets to bring people together. Like,
yes.
I think what we use the screen most for with our one-year-old is to FaceTime grandparents.
Right, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, maybe we don't do like 3 FaceTime calls back to back, but like
right.
for me with like mom guilt, I'm like, oh, we're spending so much time on FaceTime, but there's mm-hmm. also the relational piece of it. So yes. again, like balance.
Yeah.
How do we balance that? How do we utilize it with its advantages,
yeah.
but don't overuse it?
Well, I mean, they learn far better from people than screens. So at this stage, it's just so great to, I mean, yeah, maybe they have a favorite show that they can watch while you're making dinner or something, but it's so much better for them just to maybe help you, mm-hmm. which I know is kind of terrifying to think about your 2-year-old. I mean, sometimes it makes the job way harder for you,
right.
but I mean, they really love that physical connection, and I mean, they enjoy that time spent with you versus that time in front of a screen.
Yeah, that's awesome. Let's end with this. The 5 things that your baby needs. Like 5.
You're like, there's only 5.
Only 5. Then we'll be quick. Just yeah. like 5 takeaways for 0 through 2-year-old. What do they need and what can you give them? I think the first and most obvious one that we could all guess is
love.
And you can't give your baby too much love. You know, that phase, the phrase, you can't spoil a baby.
Right.
I loved that.
Yes.
Never too many snuggles.
Yes.
Too many kisses.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why they love to be held. I mean, I know it has all sorts of physical, like, health benefits, which I'm not, you know, totally an expert on. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's a reason why your babies want to be held. So, yeah, it's so great. And it's so nice because this phase passes by so quickly. So just soak in all those snuggles before they're a wild 2-year-old that just want to run in circles around you.
And I think in this, just making the point to say, like, you know, once they turn 1, I feel like that's when still love them, obviously, but getting to set up boundaries and kind of beginning the discipline strategies and being able to take time for yourself so that you're not just a shriveled up raisin who's exhausted, but
which
that
is
you're
so important.
Taking time to get away, to ask for help so that you can best love your kids and be there for them.
Yeah, you need to be poured into. That way, then you can pour into your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, 2. They need words.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, again, they're listening to you. So talk to them. Keep your words simple. Utilize repetition. I love that for some reason.
Oh,
I feel
you
like
love it now. No,
it
I'm
just
kidding.
Makes it
it's
easy.
So good. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And not just like physical words, but relational vocabulary, like our body language and looking at them face to face. Look at when they point.
Yes.
Jones is really into pointing right now. And I will confess, I know what he's pointing to a lot of times.
Right.
And so
and
I don't
wanna,
look.
Yes.
But I'm like, okay, I will look. I can acknowledge it.
Yes. Well, even as Eva is learning to use her words, she will say something. And if I don't repeat back what she said, she'll keep repeating it over and over, you know? So yeah, that is so great.
Yeah. 3, stories. Our 0 to 2-year-olds need stories. And I mean, immediately what I think of here is books and reading.
Yes.
And
which is so important, like for them to learn. And then also just for you to connect with your child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
These can be like family stories, faith stories, cultural stories, making sure to read and to like even just share these while you're driving or whatever that might look like for you.
Yeah.
4, work.
So important.
Yeah.
Especially as they
Jasmine.
Get older. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, giving them something to do because they need to do things for themselves. So especially as they get older, like with my 2-year-old, I mean, it's so great to give her a task because she wants to help me do it. That's what I hear all day. Mm-hmm. So just give them something. So, I mean, they want to work and they want to help because they see you doing things. And so they want to learn how to do them themselves. So, I mean, you can just give them somewhere to serve. So they let them help you and the family.
Mm-hmm.
And then also as a part of this, which I think is so important, that they're learning to say please and thank you and to let others go first and to share. I mean, that's such an important part of work and so important. I mean, even when I'm talking to my 2-year-old, which my husband thinks is crazy, I'll say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, because I'll want her to use manners. So that's how I respond to her as well.
That's smart, so, Jasmine.
Yeah.
That's how you're the expert in this phase.
No, no.
You are. Okay. And so last but not least, we're going to end with 5, which is fun.
Yeah.
The best
one.
Learn what your kid likes. Like, loosen up your agenda and your schedule and give time to do those things and to make sure that you have fun together with your 0 to 2 year olds. I think that is way more important than we give it credit for.
I think so too. I mean, that's what they'll remember and hold on to, mm-hmm. is those fun moments together.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that is the 0 to 2 phase. Thank you so much for jumping in and joining us for this episode. I know there are probably so many more things we could have included.
For sure. Yeah. But we also want to respect your time and know that this phase is busy and it's hard to squeeze in time to listen.
So if you made it the full time, exactly. Shout out to you.
Woohoo.
And just wanted to say we love walking through this specific phase with you. We as a church are here for you, families. If you ever have any questions or just need support, we are here to pray, to be with you, to walk through it with you. This is more than a podcast, but this is a community. So we love you. Thanks so much for joining us today, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.